And we're going to use a Bible verse to do it. If we could have the Bible reading up. And the Bible reading is a record Bible reading of 6 words. Okay? 6 words. Sometimes you just need a short Bible reading. And it is from Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. We're going to miss the bit about the brother for the moment. So we're just going to do the first 6 words. A friend loves at all times. Okay, can everybody say that together? A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Okay, we need to say that with feeling and gusto. Are we ready to go for it? A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Can you lift the volume a bit? Ready? A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Okay, now let's say it one more time as though we were Pentecostals. Amen? Go for it. A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 17, verse 17. And I want you to keep, yes, amen. I love the Lord. And if loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right. Amen. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. So, friendship, that's what we're looking at today. And it's such an important subject. It's one of those subjects. How many of you have ever heard a sermon on friendship? Put your hand up. No? I'm slightly blind as well, so I might not be able to see. I'll have to come back here for... have you never heard something on friendship? And actually, the Bible is full of things about friendship. One of the key things is we're never ever told or helped into friendship. I mean, if you need to drive a car, you get driving lessons. You go to school to learn about physics, chemistry, French, so on. But nobody ever does friendship lessons. Wouldn't that be amazing in school to have a GCSE in friendship? That would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? I wonder what on earth we would do for that. But friendship is fantastic. One of the big problems in our world today is loneliness. Isolation, people who feel a bit unwanted, unknown, and so on. And it's easy to be lonely in school, easy to be lonely in your street, easy to be lonely in church, easy to be lonely even when there's all these people here this morning. Sometimes we can still feel lonely even in a crowd. Anybody ever felt that? You feel a bit alone, you feel unknown, you just wonder, am I really wanted? And that's why friendship, fellowship, is really important. It's like the glue that brings us together. And I just want to say here today, there may be a number of us who are struggling in this place of friendship. I struggle sometimes with it. You know, just like knowing how to be the best friend or a good friend, or you know, there can be all sorts of struggles around friendship. And we're at the end of the service today, there'll be a prayer team over there by the organ. And if there's anything you want prayer or you just want to talk about how hard it can be sometimes to be lonely or to be isolated. We don't want you to go out the door without having talked or prayed or spoken to someone about it, because we would love to help and just listen and pray together. God has designed us to need each other, and that's the amazing thing. And the answer, here's one thing. I learned a lot through listening to... I remember I was at Soul Survivor one year. Some of the young people might remember this. Do you remember when Andy Croft... he did a talk on friendship. That's the only time I've ever heard somebody teach on friendship, once in 30 years of being a Christian. And I one of the things I loved about what Andy Croft, who was one of the Soul Survivor leaders, said, he said that the answer to friendship issues is not popularity. It's not how many friends you've got. Sometimes we think we've got to have loads of friends to make us feel significant. And actually, it's not having loads of friends. It's not popularity. It's not how many likes you get or whatever. Friendship is actually, it's quality, not quantity. And actually, true friendship, you can probably only have a couple of friends that are real friends. And to really, it's quality, not the quantity. And that's why I love that Bible verse, a friend loves at all times. Because most of us, even through your whole life, we'll have a few friends around us. who can know us and that we can share with. And I just want to speak a little bit about that today. What does the Bible have to say about friendship? Let me read you a few Bible verses. So we've got the one, our verse this morning, a friend loves at all times. There's quite a lot in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 12, it says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So the Bible's saying, you choose your friends carefully. In Proverbs 13, it says, walk with the wise and become friendships with people that will be good for us, to walk with the wise. Proverbs 18 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. It's very straightforward and blunt in the Bible. Proverbs 22, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. It's interesting, isn't it? Anybody friends with a hot-tempered person? You might want to reevaluate that one. It says, do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. So watch out, in other words. It says in Proverbs 27, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So sometimes a friend, the Bible's saying, might have to say some tough things because they love us. And when it comes from the right heart, that's fine. Nobody's interested in someone just giving you a bit of cold feedback that is just like, there you go. I'm not going to hold my punches back. There you go. It's actually when a true friend will tell you, you know, that you're being an idiot. A true friend will tell you, you know, you need to stop talking now. You know, or whatever it might be. Friends, the faithful are the wounds of a friend. Real friends tell you what they really see, but they tell you in love. Speak the truth in love. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 27:17, famous verse. I'm going to start it and see if you can finish it. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so that's the thing of like sharpening up. And so friendship actually helps you to grow. Friendship helps you to develop. And it's good for us to be able to be in friendships that challenge us, friendships that help us, that grow us, that develop us, where we're not just kind of maintaining a status quo, but we're really going for it. Ecclesiastes 4 says, anybody complete that one? Two are better than one. That's right. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. Anybody ever need sometimes somebody to help you up? When you're feeling low, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling struggle, when you're feeling fragile, we need one another. We need one another. Nobody is an island. Nobody's got all the answers. Nobody is bulletproof. Nobody is indestructible. We all need each other. Yeah, look around you. The Bible doesn't call this friendship. It also calls it kind of fellowship. And it says they devoted themselves to fellowship. And sometimes we need each other to help pick each other up. We all need that. And that's one of the things the Bible says about friendship. And then the last one I'm going to read is the New Testament. We only got one for the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And what's brilliant about that verse is Paul is saying is, you're doing a great job. Just keep going. And I want to say that to us as St. Mary's. I know that not everybody here knows each other here. And I know most of you, and not all of you though, but I know that you are doing a great job at encouraging each other. And I just want to say, keep going. In life groups, keep encouraging each other. In Ignite, keep encouraging each other. In the various things you're part of, in any ministry or whatever, when you see each other on Sundays, we don't want to assume that everybody's okay. Actually, sometimes we're not okay. And sometimes you might need to be that friend that picks someone else up. Or maybe you want to be that friend that is like iron sharpening iron and helping someone else. You know, let's be friends. Let's go for it together. We can't all be best friends, though. You know, so don't feel that pressure. Let's burst this little bubble that everybody in here is going to be best friends. We're not. You know, we might know each other a bit. Sometimes our friendships are superficial, with most people, our friendships don't go that deep. But I really want to encourage us to have one or two or three, you know, just those relationships that go deeper, deeper than superficial, deeper than surface level, so that you can be yourself and you can share and say, I'm feeling a struggle. I need your help. Can you help me out? Can you pray for me? This is how I'm feeling, honestly. We all need to have some people that we can be ourselves with and be honest with. That's a friend. Has anybody ever encountered that great question in church? How are you? How are you? Does anybody know how to answer that question? Well. Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Ask me another. That's a great way of answering that question. Because sometimes that is a hard question for each other. Sometimes it's fine and we just go, I'm fine. But other times we can just say that. And we all need some people to guide me and encourage me. And friendship is about that as well. Anybody think of any friendships that are mentioned in the Bible? Bible friendships. Can anybody think of any? David and Jonathan, well done, who are a great example of a real kind of covenant, close bond of friendship. King David and Jonathan. Anybody else? Any other Bible friendships? Anybody? Sorry? Joshua and... Joshua has. Naomi and Ruth. Check that out. Let's give Joshua a round of applause for that. Well done. I'm going to talk just a tiny bit more about Naomi and Ruth in just a minute, but there are one or two other Bible friendships that you may not have thought about before. You might not have remembered Elijah and Elisha. You remember them? And Elisha really was like Elijah was like a mentor for Elisha. Or Paul and Timothy, similar. Actually, a great friendship there in the Bible. But let's just look here at Ruth and Naomi. And I've got a video I want to show in just a second, if that can come up. Just this is telling you about Ruth and Naomi. Do we have any sound?
I who was part of God's special family, the Israelites. A few years later, though, Ruth's husband died. Instead of returning to her family, which would have been expected, she stayed with Naomi, her husband's mom. Naomi tried to get Ruth to go back to her family in Moab, but Ruth wouldn't leave Naomi, no matter what. In fact, she wanted to go back to Israel with her. Ruth said, "Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." So they both returned to Naomi's home in Bethlehem. Back then, though, it was hard for women to find work. Usually, they had to be taken care of by their husband or a dad. It's really hard to imagine that now, but Naomi and Ruth might not have even known how they'd survive. At first, to get food, Ruth went to the fields of a man named Boaz and followed his harvesters around. If they dropped anything, even just a piece of grain, she picked it up. This was called gleaning. Ruth worked from morning to night and barely even took a break. Boaz noticed. He told his workers to leave behind some extra grain for her to gather. When Naomi heard about this, she was overjoyed because Boaz was Naomi's relative and what's called a family redeemer. That meant that it was his responsibility to take care of his family. If anybody was going to rescue Ruth and Naomi, it was Boaz. Kids, we have a redeemer too. It's Jesus. He's the one who saves us. Anyway, this gave Naomi an idea. She told Ruth to put on her best clothes and perfume and then go to the place where Boaz was sleeping. Naomi said that once Boaz had gone to sleep, Ruth should lay down by his feet. Now, this may sound like a weird plan, but it was actually really brave. Ruth trusted Naomi and obeyed. When Boaz woke up, he was surprised. After all, someone was lying at his feet. That's not exactly a normal night. When Boaz asked who Ruth was, she said, "I am your servant. You are my family redeemer." Now Boaz understood. Ruth wanted Boaz to marry her so that she and Naomi would both be taken care of. Boaz agreed. This was a huge deal. Ruth wasn't an Israelite, but she wanted to follow God anyway. By marrying Boaz, she got to officially be part of God's family. In fact, Ruth's great-grandson was King David. And many, many years later, Jesus, the rescuer, was born into the same family line. Now, because of Jesus, we get to be a part of God's family too. So, in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Ruth was from Moab. Her husband died. Ruth was left with his mom, Naomi. Naomi told her to go home. Ruth said no. She went to Israel with Naomi. They needed someone to take care of them. Ruth gleaned in a field. Boaz noticed. He left extra grain for Ruth. Naomi made a plan. Ruth obeyed it. She wanted to marry Boaz. He agreed. Ruth became part of God's special family. And we can too. And that's a part of God's story.
Great. Bet you wish the whole sermon was like that. isn't that amazing? So, Jesus came from the line of Ruth and Boaz's line, and the reason Ruth and Boaz came together was because of the friendship of Ruth and Naomi. So isn't that amazing that friendship there is right at the heart of God's plan for us? And Naomi went through a hard time. She lost her husband. She'd lost her two sons. And she kind of said to Ruth, you know, you should go home. But Ruth stayed with Naomi. So also another miracle because she had an amazing friendship with her mother-in-law. But that, okay, that one was for free. Missed that one. But loyalty is another amazing example of friendship. Being loyal, staying with someone, no matter what tough time they're having, we stay with them, we stick with them, we don't give up on people. And that's what Ruth did for Naomi. She didn't give up. Even though Naomi was having a tough time, Ruth stayed with her. And may that be so for us. As we grow in friendship, we want to stick with each other through thick and thin. Hard times and good times. And the Bible says in Acts 2, it says they were devoted. Say devoted. Oh, come on. Say devoted. They were devoted to fellowship. Devoted to friendship, as well as the Bible, as well as communion, as well as prayer. Friendship, friendship, friendship is so important in God's family. It is really, really key. Jesus said we should love one another. And he said that that's how the world would know that we were God's friends, if we loved one another. Friendship. And Jesus said, can anyone think of something Jesus said about friendship? You are my friends. Talking to you. Jesus said it in John 15. You're my friends. You're my friends. You're my friends. And that's amazing. So today, I just want us to take a few minutes to respond in different ways. We're going to have a few different ways. Then the band are going to come up, if that's okay. And they're going to play. And we're going to have a few minutes. And just as you've been thinking about friendship today and how Jesus invites us into friendship with him, but also to friendship with each other. Friendship with one another and friendship with God is right at the heart of the Christian message. And there's a couple of ways I'd like us to respond. The first one is, just while the band are playing, you just might want to sit there and reflect and be thinking, okay, friendship. A friend loves at all times. That's the Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. How am I doing with that? I might just want to reflect. What kind of friend am I? And here's one of the key things about friendship as well, as we reflect. Sometimes we can struggle in thinking, okay, so I need to get some friends. I need to get friends. But the way to get friends is not by trying to get friends. I think the way to get friends is to be a friend. Yeah? So not so much how can I get friends, but how can I be a friend? What can I do to reach out and build a bridge with somebody else and build a bridge that might result in friendship? How can I be a friend? You might want to reflect on that and think, how's it going with being a friend? Maybe some of us will have lots of friends and we can think of examples. Others of us might think, I'm not sure who I've got who could be a friend. So maybe just think to yourself, Lord, can you help me, Lord? How can I build some bridges to people, to even today or this week, that will just build a little bit more friendship into my life? That's what you can do. So number one, you can reflect and think about how you're doing. Number two, you might want to get your phone out, and it's okay in church, just on this occasion, okay? Get your phone out, and perhaps there are some people that you might want to text. You might want to say, sometimes, you ever have that feeling where you think, oh, I really must meet up with so-and-so, or I really must catch up with that person. Oh, and you kind of, you go, because of busyness of life, sometimes we just forget, or whatever it might be. Do you know what? You've got a few minutes now. You can text someone and say, shall we do coffee? Shall we meet up this week? Or whatever it is you might need to do to build a friendship bridge with somebody. I don't know, your text might have something else. You might be actually apologizing to someone for something. You might be doing a whole ton of different things. You know, just you'll know what you need to do. But you feel free to use your phone if you need to do it. And for those of us who might not want to use a phone, Caroline's got some cards. And Michelle, do you want to come and do this now? And it might be actually the best thing you might like to do is actually write a card to somebody about something. And that might be something that could be helpful to you. Whatever it might be about, just it's again that bridge building, trying to be a friend. Maybe you know someone who's going through a hard time, and you can build a bridge of friendship by just writing to them and just remembering them and saying, I'm really thinking of you, I'm really praying for you, or whatever that might be. They've got cards. Do you want to come and give these out? If you'd like a card, maybe you're not texting, you haven't brought your phone to church like me. Just raise your hand, and Michelle, and we've got ones that work for men and women. So sometimes, we don't necessarily want to send out pink cards. And there's pens as well, and the band are going to play in just a moment. And then right at the end, the last way of responding, we're not going to do this right now, we'll do it at the end. The last way of responding is actually for prayer as well. So there may be people here today and you're thinking, I really want some prayer about this because this is an area of struggle in my life and I'm not sure what to do about it. And then we would love you at the end to come for prayer. And also, we're welcoming anybody who'd like prayer for anything, if it's prayer for healing, prayer for another issue completely, something completely different, you're really welcome to come and get some prayer today, because it might not be about friendship, it might be about your finances or looking for a job or whatever it might be, some kind of thing that you need prayer for. The prayer team will be over at the side at the end of the service, and we'd love you to get some prayer. I know this can be an area of struggle for some people. So as we are, if the band don't mind, let's just, they're going to play, and there's going to be a few minutes where you can either reflect, you can text, you can write, you can do some way of responding to this thing about friendship and thinking, how can I be the kind of friend that I would love to have? Okay? Brilliant. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.